Hello.
Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, parents. We have a resource for you after the show. Our Mom Squad is a private Facebook group of parents with kids and teens with learning and attention challenges. You can request to join. It's a safe space. We post resources and support each other. I did create a guide, which is kind of like a file section on various topics. And so one of them is auditory processing. So you can download the files that are housed in that guide in Mom Squad. All you need to do to find it is go to our Facebook page or search Facebook group, search the keyword SLC Mom Squad to request to join. What do you wish you had known when you first noticed your child's struggles? What do you wish someone would have told you? Deanna is responding to our question. I wish I had known that what teachers refer to as behavior issues were actually signs of a learning disability, auditory, visual, and sensory processing issues, so I could have sought help earlier. Yes, and that's something we hear all the time. I mean, as a former teacher myself, I'll just say in defense of teachers, this isn't part of our training. And just understanding kids at this level and behavior issues are usually a sign that something else is going on. And so we definitely get those kiddos. So hang in there. We have Mara commenting, when I started on this journey with my son, he was in third grade. He was diagnosed with ADHD. The best I have ever been offered is medication. I know that there are other issues, and no one has been able to quarterback this for me. I'm praying that Soul will be able to help now that he is in sixth grade. We're planning on a consult. The guests on this podcast have already been helped immensely with executive function and anger and frustration issues. And then she goes on to say, all I've ever wanted was someone to look at my son and say, I've seen this before and he's going to be okay. And Lita, that's kind of what you refer to. Mara, I know we've had some discussions in Mom Squad. And I think you've attended some of our PEACE meetings. And we've talked about retained reflexes. And kind of that was my feeling. So hopefully your consult will shed some light and give you direction. But I will tell you that if it is what we suspect. And as we get talking to you and you do decide to move forward, he will be okay. I mean, this is something, it's not a overnight process. It is a journey. It is a process. But that is our goal, is for our kids to be okay. So hang in there.
And Lauren, I want to. We've had a couple of things come up. We had, the parent who said, "Boy, I wish I'd known that when people talk about behavior issues, it's actually a sign of something else." And the same is true with attention so often. The first thing that a teacher is going to see is lack of attention when a child is struggling. Now, sometimes attention really truly is the root of the problem, but a lot of times it's an auditory challenge. You can't process the information accurately or quickly enough to stick with it, so you lose your attention, or it's a visual issue or a memory issue. There are so many reasons, or these retained reflexes or core learning skills that Lauren was referring to. There are so many things that tax our attention. And so, parents, if your child is having, if the teacher is reporting behavior or attention challenges in the classroom, that's when you need to really dig deeper to figure out, yeah, what is at the root of that symptom that the teacher is seeing.
Absolutely. And that's why our continuum, that's the kind of cornerstone of everything we do, is really looking at those skills on a continuum. We have so a lot of kind of questions, just wanting some clarification. Peggy asking, what is an intensive? Because Lita, you mentioned working intensively with Sophie at our learning center.
Yes. Well, it's kind of changed over the years, but the one that I was able to get on at that time, so we're going between fourth and fifth grade. I think for a period of, I want to say, was it 6 to 8 weeks, Lauren? She was in there between 9 and 12, Monday to Friday. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing else going on in our home in the mornings, at least, other than that Monday to Friday for however long that was, 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And going in, I was going in three times during the school year. I was going in for phase one. It was three times a week. At 1.5 hours. So it equals about 4.5 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. And we always develop a plan that is appropriate to the child. So that was appropriate for Sophie at the time. She could handle it. I remember she was exhausted, but she could handle it. And a lot of change was made over that summer. That wouldn't be appropriate for perhaps another child with different issues. So we mm-hmm. really look at that, but we can work intensively with all kinds of students. And it just depends on, you know, what is appropriate and what are our goals for making change in a relatively short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And kind of, let's see, piggybacking off of that, Kim is saying she has two daughters with auditory processing disorder. My oldest has severe autism and more profound auditory processing issues. My youngest has a mild form of, she corrected herself, auditory processing disorder, not ASD. Mm-hmm. In comparison, how does treatment differ? So probably asking about how, what, you know, since her daughters have two different issues, what that could look like. And so I already spoke about, you know, intensity would be a way that we could differ how we would approach each situation, and definitely in our programming. Jill, do you have further elaboration with that?
We are going to dig into the auditory training in just a few minutes. But with each student, we are really looking to see what are those underlying skills that are not supporting them well enough. And usually students have, you know, their own unique combination of strengths and weaknesses. And so we program accordingly, but essentially auditory training is going to involve a passive listening and an active listening. And I am going to talk about that. And then we target it differently for different students. So some students, the focus might really be language or articulation. For some, it might be comprehension. For some, it might be reading. It just depends on how that issue is really impacting them, and then sequencing the issues so that in a developmental way, so that we can really develop the foundation and the higher level skills. Mm-hmm.
And I would really, Kim, recommend, you know, if your daughters are completely different, you know, scheduling that free consult with us so that you could really dig into both of their unique needs. Mm-hmm. It's hard to kind of say, okay, this child, this, with just a little bit of information, but our consultants are fabulous, and they have been working with kids for years. They have years of experience, so they can really, you know, kind of send you on the right path and give you a more complete picture. We have, again, more questions. We have Susan asking about what is the sound therapy. So I know we're gonna get into that a little bit later in the broadcast. And Peggy picked up on, Lita mentioned Simonis, mm-hmm. which is a form of sound therapy that we used to do in our center. So Jill, because you're such a pioneer and you've been around for so long, you've really kind of accumulated the best of the best. And so at one point we were using primarily three different sound therapy programs. Mm-hmm. Simonis was one. It doesn't seem to be available in the US anymore. TLP, the listening program, is another. And we had Alex Dillman, the founder of Advanced Brain Technologies, and he really talked about the science of his program. And then ILS, Integrated Listening Systems, mm-hmm. was our third. That we did, and they also have a safe and sound program. So again, we really try to connect the appropriate training, sound therapy, with the student's need. So I hope that clears right. up any confusion.
Right. And the two primary sound therapy programs that we use now are ILS programs and Advanced Brain Technologies, the listening program. But each company has multiple programs and multiple ways. It's quite prescriptive. And so for each individual student, we can determine what is going to be the best pathway for them, the best exact programming, how is it going to be delivered, because it is very specific to each student. So we have a lot of options. We did use Simonis for many, many years. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. It's just, it is much more in use in Europe and Asia now, and the delivery is much more difficult for us here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. We have, I hope I'm saying your name right, I just had an assessment at your center, but I feel that just 1 hour a day is too little. Do you see results in that short of time? Again, I have a personal connection to this because I do consult on assessments, and I did consult on your son's assessment, as far as I consult with the evaluator and then they consult with parents. And I will say that that was appropriate. We are never going to recommend something that is not appropriate for the child. It is, you're spinning your wheels. It will be frustrating for the child. It'll be frustrating for you because you're going to be spending money and not seeing the results. We really do recommend what is appropriate to make change. And sometimes more is not more. You know, just going over if it's not appropriate, if the child, you know, isn't, doesn't have the stamina for that, right? If they're not ready for that, you know, an intensive, which Lita spoke about, is not appropriate for all of our kids. And we really look at that. We try to evaluate, would this child make more change in an intensive? And then we'll present that option to the family if it's appropriate. If it's not, we're not going to recommend that. We really want to see our kids make profound change, real change. And sometimes just blanket kind of recommending a lot of hours isn't the best way to go about that. So is also asking, Jill, do you guys do a school curriculum?
We have, and on occasion we do a therapy-based school program one-on-one. That is not the primary thing that we do, though. We really focus on what we call cognitive educational therapy, which is generally supplemental to school.
Mm-hmm. And kind of a follow-up question, are we an NPS?
We are an NPA, which is a non-public agency for the state of California.
Mm-hmm. Peggy is also chiming in, talking about her daughter. With my daughter, we recently figured out that she was dealing with auditory processing, but because of Zoom, processing with school sent her over the brink and her anxiety skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. Yes, we see that all the time. It is very frustrating to live with an auditory processing disorder. One of our past episodes, I believe Jill did a simulation. So that would be a great show to check out, where she did a simulation on auditory, what it's like to have an auditory processing challenge. And it is. It's frustrating. I can definitely see how anxiety has skyrocketed.
And I want to just add to that, for those of you whose kids are still doing online school, which many are, you have to know that the sharp visual focus that's required to keep your eyes on that teacher for a long period of time is, it's very stressful to the system, whether you have any issues or not. And so if you see an increase in anxiety, you see an increase in like movement, like they just seem like they need to move, they do need to move. That is their sympathetic nervous system saying, hey, this is too much. I'm stressed. I've got to move. Now, if you have an auditory processing issue, one of the things that students do, and they don't even consciously do this necessarily, is they really try to tune in to the teacher's mouth. They're trying to get more information by watching the teacher's mouth. And so if you think about that intense focus that it takes for them to listen and then to really tune in on a small little picture on the screen, yeah, that is a lot of mental energy. It's a lot of, it's kind of pushing the body into that fight or flight mode. So what you may have to do is, you know, every 10 or 15 minutes, you may have to just, you know, turn the camera off for a second and let her get up and do some movement, maybe do some some cross crawls where you cross your elbow to your opposite knee, you know, kind of get the core involved, get the brain reintegrated, and then put the camera back on. But she's got to be able to get up and move a little bit. It starts to release that anxiety and stress.
Absolutely. That's a great suggestion. We still have more parents really curious about everything that we've talked about so far. Elva asking, how is a child evaluated at our centers?
Lauren?
Okay. We do a functional and learning skills evaluation. If you're remote, we can do that in a screening. We give you some questionnaires, and also there are some computer-based tests that a child can do prior to the screening, and then they meet with the evaluator via Zoom, and we do some activities where we can really look at auditory processing. Even though it's via Zoom, we can really see how are they processing language and how are they comprehending language, how do they respond. We really do need to see the child in front of us. If you're in person, we recommend a little bit longer because you are in person. And we spend about 3 hours with the child, and we go through a series of standardized and non-standardized screening and assessments. And we're really looking at all those underlying skills on the continuum, really looking at everything and how do those weak skills impact what we're seeing, impact functioning? Because we also test a number of kids that their scores may not qualify them for special services. And that's not really what we care about. We care about where the challenge is occurring, where's the frustration occurring, and what does it look like? So that's kind of just a window into our process with testing. Let's see, Deanna's asking, does the center help children with speech in noise auditory processing disorder?
The sound therapy, the auditory training that we do is really training the auditory processing from a pretty foundational level. And then, so it's helping the brain to tune in to what's important and begin to let other things fall into the background. It's helping the brain to process a wide range of frequencies in sound so that they're getting a better message, to really process those higher frequencies in sound so that they have more energy. So, and more energy to the brain. So it's training at a very foundational level, a lot of different auditory skills. And then we also are very intentionally training auditory and language and comprehension and reading skills in addition to that. So, yes, we are not speech therapists, but we are doing a lot of work with various aspects of auditory skills.
And to piggyback off of that, Andrea is asking, how does your auditory and listening program or auditory stimulation and training for auditory processing issues differ from CAPDOTS? And I know CAPDOTS isn't something that we do, but Sydney Fox, Dr. Sydney Fox talked about it, an audiologist, on one of our previous shows, so we don't have a lot of information on exactly what that is. I think she explained it as an auditory integration program. But Jill, you can definitely explain a little bit more. You did with AST, auditory stimulation and training.
Yeah, CAPDOTS is working on a specific kind of skill. And Dr. Sydney Fox, who is an audiologist, she did do a show with us and had great information about auditory processing. And she talked specifically about CAPDOTS. So you can listen for that. But she also said, look, if that's not the issue, you know, you can have different auditory issues. If that's not the issue, then CAPDOTS is not going to be the right therapy. But if auditory integration is the issue, great. We don't do that program. So I would rather have you kind of listen in on hers to get more information about that. But everything that we do is pretty comprehensive. And so we are addressing auditory processing in quite a comprehensive way. So it continually feeds your own system. If you want to know more about that critical auditory feedback loop, check out last week's LD Expert Live with Paul Madal. He is one of the real pioneers with listening training. And we'll post that up in the chat for you so you can find that episode.
We're getting questions about cost. And so I want to address this just because just, you know, having attended previous parent nights or done consultations and some parents really concerned about costs and how much this costs to do. So we, you know, I do want to say that we do have financing options available. We listen to you. We work with you on what you can do. We really want to hear your budget and we will recommend something that is feasible for your family. It might take longer. You know, it's not going to be the intensive option, but we really do try to work with you on how to get started for your child. I will tell you, and I'll get on a soapbox right now, as a parent myself, I know that this is, you know, doing this kind of training would be expensive for my family, would be a sacrifice for my family. But here's the thing, if my kid was miserable in school, you talked about Sophie, self-esteem issues, you know, just having peer problems, really feeling bad about herself. If that were my kid, you know, my daughter right now is only five, but if she were coming home every single day and not having friends and crying about, you know, herself as a student and really feeling down on herself, you bet I would make it work. I really would. I call this is temporary discomfort for a permanent solution. Temporary discomfort, what our family has to do temporarily to find permanent solutions. And so I'm adamant. I coach parents all the time on this. I know this is a sacrifice. I do. I absolutely do. It's a sacrifice of time and getting those sessions done and getting that training in and of finances. But Lita, you made it work. And we will find a way to make it work for your family. So don't let that kind of be a barrier into getting started with this process. There, off my soapbox. Okay. we have, yes, some parents still checking in, sharing some of their journeys. Holly, my son, a sixth grader, has been diagnosed with ADHD. However, I believe that is a different issue. We hear this all the time. He will say things like, I heard what the teacher said, but then she started talking to another student and I completely forgot what she told me to work on and how to do it. I felt embarrassed to ask my teacher for help again when she just told me what to do. What is the process of getting a child assessed?
So for us, we really encourage you to set up a free consultation to talk with someone about your child, and then we will schedule you for either a remote screening if you're out of the area or an in-person assessment. And I just assure you, since we're in the middle of COVID, that we do take all of the precautions, you know, the COVID precautions. But if you're local and we can see you in person, that's great. If not, we can do a remote screening. And so just go to our website and we'll put that up at the end of the show, but it's stowallcenter.com and you can find our 800 phone number or schedule a consult.
Absolutely. And that skill in particular, we do see a lot and you can look at it. We can test it several different ways. One test, this is me nerding out, that we do is called the TAPS, Test of Auditory Processing. And there is a component to it where we can look at processing oral directions, which might be what's a skill that's kind of impacting your son, that he hears a direction and doesn't fully process the meaning. You know, if there's a shift or transition, you know, not being able to fully tune in or comprehend what he was just told. And that is embarrassing. I mean, we've had a lot of kids tell us that, like, yeah, I, you know, and have to admit you in testing or in session. Yeah, I didn't get that, you know, and again, you know, for our kiddos, like who can be vulnerable like that every single day to say that they missed something or that they didn't get something that is so simple for the kid that sits next to them. Anne is asking more specifically about listening programs. She says, aren't listening programs geared for treating autism?
Auditory processing is one of those skills that every brain needs in order to be able to learn. And for the deaf community, then some of their other areas of the brain have sort of taken over some of the auditory issues, they're visual and tactile, but in general, you know, auditory processing is critical for all of us. And so sound therapy, it is used often in the autism community because so many people on the spectrum have auditory issues, but sound therapy, in my experience, and we've been doing this since 1999, it has a huge impact on virtually anyone. Everyone in our centers, all of us, mm-hmm. have done or continue to do sound therapy for ourselves. It's mm-hmm. A tremendous tool. And what we want to do is, as we work with it, we really target which program we're using, how it's delivered, to specifically what we're trying to have happen for that individual student.
Absolutely. We have a couple of follow-up questions from whom I'm going to group them together. If someone goes through your program, do they need any other programs later, like Linda Mood Bell? It got cut off. So
our goal for students is that when they leave us, they are working comfortably and independently at their ability. And so we work with the underlying processing skills, but we also work with the remediation of reading, writing, spelling, math, study skills, comprehension, because we want the whole comprehensive package. We want to address all of the pieces that the student is going to need to go on and be successful.
And so
they should not need other programming like that. And I have to say, I've studied with so many different researchers and developers around the world, and Pat Lindemood was actually one of the very first. The research that she did and the principles of those programs are, you know, embedded into the things that we do.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback off the cost question, again, that is our intention, that it's kind of we permanently change the brain so that you don't have to continue to spend, you know, future monies on tutoring or other kinds of therapies that work in the same vein, you know, depending on the child and mm-hmm. the diagnosis. But I mean, that's the thing, is kind of getting the solutions to be permanent so that you don't need to have these ongoing expenses mm-hmm. is really our goal. Mm-hmm. Is also asking, does your center work on cerebellum exercises?
Yes. We do. Movement, and I think Lita kind of mentioned this, but movement is so critical to learning. It is truly a foundation for learning. And so our core learning skills level, a lot of the work that we do in attention training involves balance and movement, which gets that connection with the cerebellum and the cortex of the brain.
And Anne is asking, can sound therapy help language processing disorder?
Yes. Chances are there is an auditory component to that issue. It won't all on its own clear up confusions with language. There are many, many, many layers to language processing and using language. And so you've got to have the combination of building the underlying skills, whatever they are, and auditory is usually a piece of that with language processing, and then building the higher level language skills as well.
Mm-hmm. And Virginia is asking, do you work with 6-year-old boys with ADHD? She is in the Maryland, DC area.
We work with 6-year-old boys. We work with ADHD and any combination.
Yeah. Yes. And remotely. Parents, if we didn't get to your question, I think I saw most of them, but if I didn't, you are always welcome to connect with me in Mom Squad, our private Facebook group. You can find it by going to our Facebook page and clicking the link, or by going to Facebook groups and searching the keywords SLC Mom Squad, you do need to answer a few questions to join. We want to make sure that we keep it a group of parents supporting parents in that group. So there's resources. You can ask questions of other parents. There are some parents who have been through this journey with their kiddos. And so you can seek advice from them in Mom Squad.